Welcome to the Weekend Stakes Preview on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Naira Betts.
Technical Analysis runs in second. Navratilova is in third. Toby's Heart is on the extreme outside in fourth. Then Manon and Demo Dog, and Jouster has the lead in the stretch. It's Jouster now challenged on the outside by Technical Analysis, and Technical Analysis has taken over. Jouster is back in second. Then Toby's Heart on the outside, Manon, along with Runaway Rumor. They're coming on for the finish, and it is Technical Analysis to win the Lake George Stakes. And the mile was run in 1 minute, 36 and 3/5 seconds.
Now, here's Bobby Newman.
Good evening. Welcome to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Bobby Newman, Dave Friedman, going to bring you 11 races from around the country this weekend. And most of them, Dave, are going to come from suburban Baltimore, Maryland. It, of course, is Preakness weekend.
Yeah, it's a great weekend, and Pimlico is kind of a classic old racetrack that, it could use some love. It could use some renovations, but, boy, the history is great. It's got great bones, and I love it's only a few times a year, but I do love handicapping the races there.
They're actually not – they're going to have interesting weather for Preakness Day. It was warm for Black Eyed Susan Day today. It is going to be darn hot tomorrow in Baltimore. Temperatures reaching up to 95 degrees. At least it's not going to rain, but it's going to be a tough day out there for everybody. And I would say for those who are enjoying themselves in the infield, it's going to be a little bit messy.
Stay hydrated.
The folks in the infield always stay hydrated. It's not necessarily with water that they're staying hydrated, but you don't have to worry about that for the infielders at Preakness weekend. All right. The 147th running of the Preakness Stakes is this weekend. Naira Betts is getting you ready for it. New customers can enjoy a $200 deposit match sign-up bonus by using the code HRRN200. No spaces there. HRRN200. If you're already a Naira Betts customer, they've got you covered. Enter into Friday's $20 bonus or Saturday's $40 bonus for the best promos around. You bet $100 each on Belmont and Pimlico Friday. Earn $20 win or lose. Bet $200 each on Belmont and Pimlico Saturday. Earn $40 win or lose. Opt into any promo this weekend and more at NairaBets.com. And, of course, be sure to tune in to America's Day at the Races all weekend long for all the great coverage. They're on tomorrow, FS2 from 12:30 to 6:30 Eastern time, and then Sunday from 12:30 to 5:30, once again, Eastern Standard Time. All right, Dave. As I mentioned, we have 11 races we're going to look at, and we're going to kind of jump around. We've got 9 on the Saturday card at Pimlico. We've got one great graded stake tomorrow at Churchill Downs, and we actually have a stake on Sunday at Belmont, the Seek Again, which was supposed to go tomorrow. It doesn't look like it filled for tomorrow. It did fill, kind of, for Sunday, so we're going to look at that as well. Let's start in Louisville, Kentucky, Dave. Race 11 on the Saturday card at Churchill is the Grade 3 Louisville Stakes, $200,000 on the line. These are four-year-olds and up. They're going to go the marathon distance of a mile and a half on the turf, and they've got a huge field, 14 of them set to go to post. How did you see the Louisville?
We could spend the entire hour on this race, and I'm not sure I'd have any clarification afterwards. It's a spread race for me. I think there is a really good opportunity to get a price. I could go horse by horse and tell you why at 8-1, Chad Brown's highest honors certainly has an opportunity. Ran well on turf a couple back, and last time wasn't too terrible. Sham Rocket for Todd Pletcher always gives you a big race. I could do this for almost the entire field. I'll narrow it down. I'm looking for something that's going to pay $16, $18, $20, $25 because I think it's wide open. These marathon races, I think more so than anything else, you have to ask yourself, who actually wants to go this far? And I'm concerned there's not a ton of pace in here. I ended up with Cebolian, number 4, first-time gelding, who I think really appreciates the long distance. I think is running very well right now. Second time off a layoff, and I think we'll get a good price. I don't know how close he'll be, but I think he'll be within stalking distance and be able to make a run down the stretch.
All right, if Sabolian wins, I'm not sure he'll pay as much as Highland Ridge did last week, or whether the winner of the Man Award did last week, who you had on top. By the way, we had a caller last night on our call-in show. Thank you very, very much, because he made a few bucks.
Good.
On your suggestion of the Man of War. No win money, but had the exact and the try when Gufo ran second to your top selection. It was the longest shot in the field. Okay, so Sabolian for Dave in the Louisville. I'm also going to try a little bit of a price with number 9, Camp Hope, who's 6-1 for Kenny McPeak and James Graham. Camp Hope has never been a mile and a half. He's run a mile and 5/16 on that goofy course over at Kentucky Downs, and he actually ran very, very well that day. He was only beaten in the neck that afternoon. He was gaining ground, and every time I say gaining ground, I have to think of Mike Battaglia, like, gaining ground, even though it wasn't Mike who called the races there. But I digress. Even though Camp Hope hasn't run a mile and a half, I get the feeling that it won't bother him. He's by Summer Front out of a Pulpit Mare, and I think he's got the pace scenario, what you were describing. He's a horse that not only may be able to get the distance, but should be somewhat forwardly placed. Even though he closed in that mile and a 5/16 race, most of his recent races, he's been within 2 lengths of the lead most of the way around. So I think Camp Hope is going to get a good trip. And at 6-1, I think he's as good as everyone else. Dave and I both taking a little bit of a shot in the Louisville. He likes Sabolian. I like Camp Hope. Goes as race 11 tomorrow on the Churchill card. All right, we're going to go to Pimlico next. We're going to save the Belmont race for the last segment. They've got 9 stakes on tomorrow's Pimlico card, of course highlighted by the Grade 1 Preakness, which goes as race number 13. But we're going to start the stakes action a lot earlier in the day. Race number 4 goes at about 12:15 Eastern time. It's the Grade 3 Maryland Sprint. These are 3-year-olds and up, in for a purse of $150,000, 6 furlongs on the main track, 7 of them going to post, Dave. And even though it's just a 7-horse field, there is no clear-cut way to handicap this race. Several have a chance.
Yeah, my general philosophy on Preakness Day, and it has been this way for a very, very long time, it's been more successful than not, but it certainly isn't foolproof, is I try to avoid Maryland-based horses. Now, there are occasions that you need to play them, and in this race, Disco Pharaoh has to be covered in some manner or facet. That being said, 19-length win at Aqueduct in a maiden race, didn't face a great deal, came back, won a stakes race at Laurel last time out as a tepid favorite. Solid, reasonable. I'm certainly going to try to beat Disco Pharaoh, but boy, I don't love the alternatives in here. Mr. Phil and Jackson Traveler, number 6 and 7, faced off against each other last time out. Mr. Phil got the better of Jackson Traveler by about half a length. They ran a really, really similar race. But Jackson Traveler loves Pimlico, and I think the 6-furlong distance for Jackson Traveler suits him pretty darn well. Joel Rosario is a pretty significant upgrade jockey-wise. Now, I do wonder if there's going to be a speed duel in here, and maybe those two horses are both out in front. Maybe that helps out Disco Pharaoh or somebody else in here. This is not a race I'm real high on. Sir Alfred James, number 2, ran 2 weeks ago on the Derby undercard. I don't like coming back in 2 weeks if you don't have to. I'm not sure why they're rushing, but his figs, and he has some races that would make him very much in the mix. I pick Jackson Traveler. I like getting Joel. I like his familiarity with Pimlico, but at 3-1, I'm not all that excited.
I don't have anything to add to that. I picked Jackson Traveler as well. I really don't think he's any better than Mr. Phil is. Disco Pharaoh is obviously an up-and-comer, and he may end up being better than all of these, if not tomorrow, not too far down the line. But I like the outside post. Love Joel Rosario getting aboard Jackson Traveler. That's enough for me. Jackson Traveler, who's 3-for-3, first or second, at Pimlico. Dave and I both like him in the Maryland Sprint. Fifth race tomorrow at Pimlico is the Grade 3 Gallarette. Fillies and mares here going a mile and a 16th on the turf. Nice purse of $150,000. Seven of them going to post, Dave, but most of the action going to come in between either number two, Crystal Cliffs, or four, Technical Analysis.
Yeah, I really like Technical Analysis here. In here, you're not getting much of a price. But Chad Brown, second off a layoff. Second is a four-year-old. Won a couple of graded stakes Saratoga last year. Going to be on the lead. There's not a lot of speed in here. Might be the controlling speed. I think everything is all systems go for Technical Analysis. That said, I do like number three, Scarabia, just a little bit. I think the last three races have come against pretty darn good competition, and she's really held her own in those races. I think that she's going to offer some value, but to me, Technical Analysis is just a little bit better than this group.
Yeah, to me, Technical Analysis is more than a little bit better. I just think most of the races she runs are clearly better than this field can handle. I actually think she ran a race last time out when Plum Ali came and got her. To me, they've been trying to I don't know if they've been trying to show speed with her or she's just been running in paceless races lately, but I'm not sure she's not a better filly with a target than she is going to the lead. Be interesting to see what Jose Ortiz does with this daughter of Kingman tomorrow. There is speed on the outside with Foggy Dreams, who figures to be a big long shot. I don't know if Technical Analysis will just say, we're not going to deal with her and we're just going to get the lead and go, or be happy to sit targeting a mare in Foggy Dreams, who she should have no problem going by. But like you, Dave, I like number four, Technical Analysis, to win the Grade 3 Gallarette Race 5 tomorrow at Pimlico. Going to take our first break. When we come back, we've got more great Pimlico action to look at. This is the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Bet and watch the races worldwide from the palm of your hand with Naira Betts. Sign up for Naira Betts today and take advantage of premium perks with the best live racing and instant replays in HD, exclusive promotions, and earn points on every bet. Sign up for Naira Betts today with the promo code HRRN200 and earn a deposit match bonus of up to $200. Again, that's HRRN200. With Naira Betts, you can bet any track, anywhere, at any time. Head over to NairaBetts.com.
Spring horse racing continues in Hallandale Beach with the Royal Palm Meet at Gulfstream Park. Live racing Thursday through Sunday starting April 7th. Join us for heart-pounding action and delectable hospitality all spring long. Enjoy the races outdoors at the new Carousel Club or cool off in a private suite or our trackside restaurant, Ten Palms. For stakes schedules, reservations, dining, and ticketing, head to GulfstreamPark.com.
Join Lone Star Park for live racing every Thursday through Sunday through July 24th. Memorial Day, May 30th, is Lone Star Million Day, featuring six stakes worth $1.2 million in purses and an NHC qualifier. Lone Star Park is also home to two player-friendly wagers, the Players Pick 5 and Lone Star Six Shooter. Both feature a low 12% takeout, a 50-cent minimum, and a daily consolation payout. Every Sunday, the late Pick 4 is guaranteed at $50,000. Don't miss it. For more information, visit LoneStarPark.com.
Racing fans, the middle jewel in racing's Triple Crown, the Preakness Stakes, is here. So come join the Preakness Party at Santa Anita. Admission gates open early for wagering on a tremendous undercard from Pimlico at 7:15 a.m. Preakness Day tickets are available now at santaanita.com/events. And bring the kids. Our infield family fun zone is open with pony rides, inflatable jumpers, face painting, and more. Enter via gate 6 off of Colorado Place. And be sure to mark Memorial Day weekend, May 28th, 29th, and 30th on your calendar. In addition to 11 stakes over the three-day holiday, our Santa Anita Infield Carnival will be back with a Ferris wheel and a number of other rides, a super slide, funhouse, and much more. Our on-track main event this Saturday is the $75,000 Misdirection Stakes for fillies and mares at about 6.5 furlongs down the hillside turf course. First live race post time is at 1 o'clock.
Want to get the latest HRRN content directly on your computer or mobile device? then subscribe to our podcast using the Podbean app or Apple Podcasts. Just go to hrrn.podbean.com on your computer and click follow, or download the Podbean app and search HRRN. You can also find us on Apple Podcasts and listen to our latest episodes anytime. Don't miss a thing. Subscribe to our podcasts today.
Hi, this is jockey Umberto Rispoli, and you're listening to HRRN.
This is the Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Betts.
Also there is Spooky Channel. Kentucky Ghost comes wide off the turn. Super Soul is there. Set pieces weaving through the pack, picking off horses in behind. There's five lengths to make up there. Racing for the eighth pole. Some like it. Hot Brown still in front. In front by two. Set piece dives down toward the hedge. Here comes Set Piece riding up the inside. Some like it. Hot Brown has to fend off Set Piece. Set Piece from last to first, weaving to victory. Over Some Like It Hot Brown second, Ride a Comet was third, and it's tight for fourth.
Travis Stone on the call of last year's Grade 2 Wise Dan, won so impressively by Set Piece. Welcome back to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts. Bobby Newman, Dave Freeman, smack dab in the window of the Preakness card at Pimlico tomorrow afternoon. And the next of the nine Pimlico Stakes that we're going to look at, Dave, is race number 7 on the card. It's the Ski Pat, $100,000 on the line for the fillies and mares, sprinting 6 furlongs on the main track. Nice big field of 10 going to post, and this one is a head-scratcher.
Yeah, I think you can find a way to like a lot of them. But when it comes down to it, number 6, Sela, is the only graded stakes winner in here. Second off a layoff, and, you know, the best races that she's run are as good, maybe better than anyone in here. The win in the Grade 2 Prioress at Saratoga in September is just terrific. And when she has teamed with Tyler Gaffalione, they've been really, really good. Last time out, just faced much better in the Grade 1 Madison at Keeneland. And I think she's the most likely winner. She loves the distance of 6 furlongs, and I think she should be the favorite, and she's my most likely winner. She'll probably be my pick, so to speak, but I wouldn't be able to single her. Number 9, Time Limit for Mike Maker off a layoff. 2 back, won a race that I think kind of looks a little bit like this one. Last time out, I did not love the effort in the stakes race, the state bred stakes race at Aqueduct, but Maker does such a good job. I don't know that the upside is huge for Time Limit, but there's nothing you can say about the mare that's not positive. She's a hard-knocking type. Number 8, Chitara for Nacho Correas, I think fits in this field very, very nicely too. Should be on the lead, and I think has a big chance, particularly if you toss the last one in the mud. There are a bunch of others too. I don't know if Joyce Rocket is quite fast enough, but I love getting Joel Rosario. But to me, Sela is the most likely winner in here, Bobby.
All right, so Sela for Dave. I'm going to do something that you said at the top of the show you try to avoid doing, and that is picking a Maryland-based horse in these stakes. But this is not a graded stake. This is the ungraded Ski Pat, and I just like the form of number 5, Kayla Soros, for Tim Kreiser and Horacio Caramanos. Caramanos has ridden this mare 3 of her last 5 starts, including 2 victories, and she has the ability to close, and there looks to me like there's enough pace in this race where a closer could do well. So Kayla Soros for me, I like her recent form. All of the form, by the way, at Laurel, not at Pimlico, so we don't really know how she's going to do on this track, but I just think she's going to get the right scenario, and I think for a Maryland-based runner, she's one with a big, big chance. Dave likes Sela. I like Kayla Soros in race 7 tomorrow, the Ski Pat at Pimlico. 8th race, we're back into the graded stakes competition. This is the Grade 2 Dinner Party, $250,000 on the line for the 3-year-olds and up, going a mile and a 16th on the turf. We have a field of 7 going to post here, Dave, and we heard in the rejoin that stretch run of last year's Wise Dan, won so impressively from off the pace by the Brad Cox trainee set piece. That's actually the last time that he's gotten to the winner's circle. He ran second in the four-star Dave after that, really disappointed as the favorite in the Grade 1 Woodbine Mile two starts ago, and then first start of this year, ran just kind of a so-so seventh-place finish in the Maker's Mark Mile. The one thing about set piece, though, Dave, he's been facing the best there are out there.
Set piece is as classy as they get, and I think has a big chance in here. I'm very concerned about the way he runs. This is second off a layoff. Brad Cox, I expect set piece to be ready. I just don't see pace. Do you have a feel for who the leader is going to be halfway around the course, Bobby? Because whoever that is a horse that I'm going to want to have on my ticket.
Well, the funny thing that you say about that is I was all set to pick set piece, but because of the pace scenario, I went to number six, Atone, simply because I think Atone will be in front of set piece, and they won't really have to do any running until they get to the far turn at the, you know, at the earliest. And I trust in Irad Ortiz, who's picking up the mount on Atone. I don't think he's any better than set piece. They both come out of Grade 1 competition. Atone finished a length ahead of him last time out, but set piece was a much lower price. So I think they're very equal, but I think the pace scenario favors Atone.
We see it exactly the same. The word I use is tactical speed. I think Atone has it and set piece doesn't. I like Atone second off the layoff, and I just don't see any horses that really want the lead. I don't think they're going to go particularly fast, and I think that really hurts set piece. I will mention that Beacon Hill is a horse that I think is on the rise a little bit. I like second off the layoff. I'm also concerned that Beacon Hill is going to be too far back, but I do give a chance with Joel Rosario for Mike Matz tomorrow. But I like Atone simply because I think forwardly placed in a race where they're not going to go fast enough to be rallying too much.
All right, so Dave and I both like Atone, not really an upset because he's 5-2 on the morning line, but against a horse who may be even money in the field. We both respect set piece a lot, maybe think he's the best in the field, but Atone we think gets the right trip tomorrow in the Grade 2 Dinner Party, Race 8 at Pimlico. Let's move ahead to the ninth race on the card, another graded stake here. This is the Grade 3 Chick Lang. For three-year-olds, they're going to be sprinting six furlongs, $200,000 on the line, nine of them going to post. Morning line favorite here is number five, Old Homestead. He's done nothing wrong in three career starts.
Yeah, he might be just a freak. The first two at Delta Downs didn't face incredible competition and blew out fields of nine and six. And then last time out was not really respected at Keeneland, went off at 10-1 and just was much, much the best in a race that has come back very, very key. And Old Homestead might just be way better than everyone in here. And this is not a bad field. Steve Asmussen's Cogburn on the rail is interesting. A speed horse, Little Vic on the outside is another speed horse. The horses in this race largely are winning and running really well, running fast paces and running quick final times. To me, this race is either Old Homestead is way better than them and just wins from the gate or very, very close up to the pace, or it is just an unbelievable pace meltdown. It's 21-3, 21-4, and they all eat each other up, and it leads to something off the pace. I struggled to find one off the pace. I ended up with Chasing Time for Asmussen, who's won this race four times. I don't know if Chasing Time is fast enough. I fear that Chasing Time is going to be way, way back, cutting back from the mile and an eighth Arkansas Derby and the mile and the 16th Rebel, now kind of getting back to the one-turn game. I don't know if chasing time's good enough. I was hoping to find something that comes off the pace. I'll be using Old Homestead. I'll be using Chasing Time, and I'll be really excited to watch this. It's the first of the late pick five, the 12% takeout that leads into the Preakness. So I'll be very, very focused on this race.
The fact that this race starts the pick five nauseates me because I can't get a grip on this race. I have the same problems you do. It just looks like somebody's got to close, and it also looks like the closers aren't even close to as good as the ones who are the non-closers in this field. So I went the other direction with the speed horse in number one, Cogburn. I'm just hoping that I'm handicapping this correctly and that he may be the speed of the speed. If he's not, well, he's going to be in bad shape being down there on the inside mixing it up with two or three other runners in the race. But Rosario has won aboard him in the past. He's shown the ability last year as a two-year-old to go 21-3 for the quarter and sub-45 for the half, which is something you do not see from the other runners in this race with the exception of Little Vic. I don't know. If Cogburn can outrun him early, I think he can go gate to wire. If he doesn't outrun him early, then Joel Rosario better have something up his sleeve because I have no idea which way to go. I'm going to go with Cogburn on top. Dave sounds like he's using Old Homestead and Chasing Time, trying to cover the bases with both the speed and the closers in what is a real tough start to that pick five. Once again, it is a 50-cent minimum pick five, and as Dave has mentioned several times, very low takeout of just 12%. Okay, we're going to take another break. When we come back, we've got three more big stakes from Pimlico to look at: the James W. Murphy, the Sir Barton, and the Jim McKay Turf Sprint. This is the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Nyra Betts on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Bet and watch the races worldwide from the palm of your hand with Nyra Betts. Sign up for Nyra Betts today and take advantage of premium perks with the best live racing and instant replays in HD, exclusive promotions, and earn points on every bet. Sign up for Nyra Betts today with the promo code HRRN200 and earn a deposit match bonus of up to $200. Again, that's HRRN200. With Nyra Betts, you can bet any track, anywhere, at any time. Head over to NyraBetts.com.
Spring Meet returns to Churchill Downs now through July 4th, with record stakes highlighted by the $3 million Kentucky Derby. Racing doesn't end once Derby Week is over, as Stephen Foster Preview Day is Saturday, June 4th, with six stakes races totaling $1.2 million and all leading up to an action-packed closing weekend and Stephen Foster Day on July 2nd. Don't forget, the Churchill Downs purses are powered by Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. For more racing information and to get your tickets today, visit churchilldowns.com.
Racing fans, the middle jewel in racing's Triple Crown, the Preakness Stakes, is here. So come join the Preakness party at Santa Anita. Admission gates open early for wagering on a tremendous undercard from Pimlico at 7:15 a.m. Preakness Day tickets are available now at santaanita.com/events. And bring the kids. Our infield family fun zone is open with pony rides, inflatable jumpers, face painting, and more. Enter via gate 6 off of Colorado Place. And be sure to mark Memorial Day weekend, May 28th, 29th, and 30th on your calendar. In addition to 11 stakes over the three-day holiday, our Santa Anita Infield Carnival will be back with a Ferris wheel and a number of other rides, a super slide, funhouse, and much more. Our on-track main event this Saturday is the $75,000 Misdirection Stakes for fillies and mares at about 6.5 furlongs down the hillside turf course. First live race post time is at 1 o'clock.
Get to know the men and women who make this sport go on Trainer Talk, presented by Facig Tipton. Mike Pena sits down with Hall of Famers, up-and-comers, and everyone in between with an intimate conversation that goes beyond the X's and O's. Hear their stories every Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern on Sirius 219 XM 201 or streaming live at horseracingradio.net. It's the show that trainers listen to. Trainer Talk, presented by Facig Tipton, only on HRRN.
This is jockey Julian Lepau, and you're listening to HRRN.
This is the Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Betts.
Territory has the lead and now has inside position, but here they come from the outside. Extravagant Kid launching a bid three wide in between horses. Yes, I Am Free from the back in Omaha City with an eighth of a mile to go. Territory trying to go to the Jets now. He has the lead by two down the center. It's Extravagant Kid. This is the matchup, but Territory living up to the billing, and Territory will win it and win it by two in the end. It's very close for second. I think Extravagant Kid held off Smokin' Jay, who rallied late in 59 flat.
That was Pete Aiello on the call of the 2021 Janus at Gulfstream Park, won by Caratari. Very impressive that day, and he is one of the ones running tomorrow at Pimlico in the Jim McKay Turf Sprint. Welcome back to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts here on HRRN. Bobby Newman, Dave Friedman, smack dab in the middle of Preakness Saturday on the Pimlico card tomorrow. And Dave, we're going to go back to the handicapping very shortly. Right now, though, it's time for the Blood Horse News Update. Look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. In the category of "It was just a matter of time," Rispoli to resume riding in California. After struggling to gain traction in Kentucky, jockey Umberto Rispoli is returning to California to ride. The Italian-born rider among California's leaders before his departure to Kentucky this spring is booked to ride two horses May 22nd at Santa Anita Park. He rides May 20th and 21st at Churchill Downs. Rispoli told Daily Racing Form, which initially reported his return to California, that he didn't receive as many opportunities as he'd hoped. He added the move will return to his family, who remained this spring in California. Rispoli went 0 wins, 2 seconds, 3/3 from 19 rides at Keeneland. He entered the Friday program at Churchill Downs, 0 wins, 1 second, 2/3 from 17 mounts at the Louisville track. He rode Smooth Like Strake and Desert Dawn to show finishes in Grade 1 action in Kentucky this spring. That wraps up this afternoon's edition of the Blood Horse News Update. Follow all the Preakness-related news and stories, plus have the latest racing, breeding, sales, and industry news and analysis, plus entries, results, race replay videos, and more at your fingertips with the Blood Horse Daily app for your phone, updated throughout the day or delivered daily in an email. Blood Horse Daily has the largest subscriber slash user base of any thoroughbred industry electronic daily newsletter or app. Go to bloodhorse.com/daily to download the app or sign up. Both are free. Dave, I don't think either of us are really surprised that Rispoli is going back to California. It was really bad timing, as it turned out, for he and his agent to make the decision to try their hands back in that Kentucky region. It just happened to be at the exact same time that Kingfish out west, Flavian Pratt, made the decision to leave California and go out east. And with Pratt gone and John Velasquez not riding in California now, even though there are short fields out there, they're ripe for the taking. And Rispoli was winning a lot of races even when Pratt was there. With him not there, I mean, Rispoli really could be the leading rider in California.
Yeah, and, you know, sometimes you make a bad decision and there are horrible consequences, and sometimes you make a bad decision and you get to turn around and go back to what you were doing before. And I think this is probably a good opportunity for him to go back to California and resume being quite successful. And I don't know if you want to say no harm, no foul, because he could have been winning races for the last couple months, but I think it works out best for everyone.
As long as he didn't do anything, burn any bridges on his way out of California, it should be no problem. And let's face it, the jockey colony in Southern California now is not the strongest that they've ever had out there. And there are probably several trainers out there that with open arms are very happy that somebody who's got the talent of Rispoli is coming back and they have him as a choice to ride their horses. So I hope it works out for both sides. All right. Once again, Bobby Newman, Dave Friedman, smack dab in the middle of Preakness Saturday action. And we're going to go to the 10th race now, which is the $100,000 James W. Murphy Stakes. These are three-year-olds going to go a mile on the turf. Purse here is $100,000. We've got a nice field of 11 set to go to post day. Morning line favorite is a three-year-old who we have not seen since last November at Del Mar, ready to perform, coming back for Brad Cox.
Yeah, and Brad Cox is absolutely tremendous in situations like this. 26% when a horse has been off for 180 days or more, 42% when adding Lasix, ready to perform. Won by a nose as a maiden at about 5-1 at Ellis Park in September. Came back as a 7-2 choice in a stakes race at Laurel and won easy. And then faced better at Del Mar in November and only beat 2 in a 9-horse field. Gets Lasix today and I think is going to be a big, big favorite. I think 5-2 is nowhere close. I think Ready to Perform is going to be even money in here, and I think he's got a huge chance. The only other horse I like is Riot House for Danny Gargan, who teams here with Luis Saez, and they're at about 28% when they hook up. I thought the last two were really good down at Gulfstream Park. Getting the Lasix has seemed to make the difference. The workouts are very, very strong. To me, it's those two. I'll only be playing those two. I'm curious what Mike Trombetta is thinking with number 10, Joe, who has been pretty successful on the dirt in Maryland. He seems like would be a really good fit for the next race, the 11th race, the Sir Barton, but they elect to try him here on turf, and I'm not at 3-1 very interested. Are you?
Well, I picked Ready to Perform on top as well, but Joe is an interesting horse because he's by declaration of war and out of an arch mare. So the breeding is there on both top and bottom for him to be at least as good on turf as he is on dirt, if not better. And my guess is that they thought the same way because he debuted on turf and he didn't run a bad race. He was beaten 3.5 lengths, going 5.5 furlongs last October. He certainly looks like more of a route type horse than a sprint type horse now, and he didn't even have a clean break that afternoon. So I think they thought all along he was going to be a turf horse, and he just ended up being so good on dirt, and there was so much money on the, you know, to keep him on dirt that they did that. But now they're taking a shot. Whether he's as good as Ready to Perform or not, that's another story. But the breeding is there, and I can certainly see this horse running a good race tomorrow. I don't know if he'll win. I, like you, am going to pick Ready to Perform on top. I would not bet him at even money. But I think he's the right one. He's going to close in a field that looks like it's got some speed, ready to perform for both Dave and myself in the James W. Murphy Race 10 on the Preakness card tomorrow. 11th race at Pimlico is what Dave mentioned, the Sir Barton. This is also a $100,000 stake for three-year-olds. However, this race is a 1 1/16 on the main track. We've got a field of 10 coming together here, Dave, and some pretty interesting runners in the field. First of all, the morning line favorite is number 5, B-Doc. I'm not sure how they came up with this horse being the morning line favorite. It took him 5 tries to get his maiden win. He blitzed a maiden field at Keeneland last time out. I'd be shocked if number 1, Ethereal Road, is not favored in this race. That being said, I don't think he has to win. How did you see it?
Yeah, I think I agree with both of the things you said. B-Doc is named for Hall of Fame cornerback Brian Dawkins. The ownership group is his big Philadelphia Eagle fans. And while the huge fig, the huge run last time out, was great at Keeneland. That was at 7 furlongs. Today we're going 1 1/16. And I don't think he faced an unbelievable field at Keeneland that day. I think this one's wide open. I think a price is possible. And there are limited speed options. So you mentioned Ethereal Road, who had been on the Derby trail and we all know was scratched. And that led to Rich Strike getting in and then winning the Kentucky Derby. I'm not convinced Ethereal Road is better than this group. I think it's the right level, but I'm not convinced that because he was in hailing range of Tawny Port and Major General in Lexington, or way back of Zandon and Smile Happy in the Bluegrass, that means he's better than this group. I think you can go several different ways. Mr. Jefferson for Mike Trombetta, the horse that lost to Joe last time out by a head, seems to like Lasix, has run best on Lasix and fits okay in here. I ended up with Ruggs on the outside for Ron Moquette. I think there's some speed there. In fact, Ruggs and Unique, number 8, are probably the two I like best because I think they're going to be near the lead in a race where I don't see a ton of pace. Unique is going around 2 turns for the first time, but I think has run pretty darn well and has been in pretty good races. Ruggs ran against Dash Attack and then Zozos at Oaklawn in the winter, and then 2 back faced We the People, who turned around and was just dazzling in the Peter Pan. Didn't run great that day, but ran okay, and then came back and really asserted himself, rolling home in a $100,000 optional claimer at Oaklawn on April 1st. 10-1 on the morning line is too good for me to pass up in what I think is a pretty open affair.
All right, so Ruggs for Dave. I agree with you, it's wide open. I am not a fan of Ethereal Road. In general, I'm not a fan of him, and I'm going to try to beat him once again tomorrow. I thought it came down to 2 horses. The horse I'm going to pick second is Unique, who is the Terry Pompey Irad Ortiz runner. Only reason I didn't pick Unique on top is that I think he's bred to be better short than long. I know he's by Unified out of a Yankee Gentleman mare. It's not that they can't win long, but certainly sounds like more sprint breeding than route breeding. Of course, you got Irad aboard, and that's going to help in any situation. I'm going to use him in my horizontal plays, but I also am going to try a bit of a price, and even a bigger price. Number 4, the Addison Poor for Brittany Russell and Heavy in Toledo. The big fish in the pond of Maryland when it comes to the trainers and the jockeys on a year-round basis. The Addison Poor has been running strictly at Laurel. 2 wins, a 2nd and a 3rd from 4 career tries. I think that win against allowance competition last time out was sneaky good. The top 2 were well clear of the rest of the field. I really don't think it's any... I don't think the races that B-Doc or Ethereal Road or some of these others ran last time are any better than what the Addison Poor ran, and you're going to get 15-1, maybe even more, on him. So I'm going to go with the Maryland bred, the Addison Poor, to upset the apple cart in the Sir Barton Race 11 tomorrow at Pimlico. 12th race on the card is the aforementioned Jim McKay Turf Sprint. $100,000 for the 3-year-olds and up, sprinting 5 furlongs on the turf. Field of 10. The turf is expected to be firm tomorrow under those hot, humid conditions. And Caratari is your 9-5 morning line favorite.
Yeah, this one is relatively easy for me to dissect if you can tell me what number 9 Hollis is going to do. If Caratari is the lone speed and is outrunning at a kind of even tempo, he's got a big chance to go wire to wire. If Hollis, who has normally recently been running on dirt, has the same early kick on the turf, and Hollis won this race 2 years ago, didn't fare so well in this race last year. If Hollis is out wheeling and dealing, pressuring Caratari, then I sort of like Brad Cox's 7 Cents, and I kind of like Mike Maker's Mr. Hustle, who are coming out of the same race at Keeneland. 7 Cents is my pick in the race because I think Hollis and Caratari go at each other from the get-go. I think it sets up for someone just off, and I thought 7 Cents' race last time was huge, and I thought the race 2 back was against pretty darn good horses at Fairgrounds. Since 7 Cents has moved into the Cox barn, I think you're seeing the best of the horse. Mr. Hustle's not that much worse, though. Mr. Hustle kind of had a troubled trip last time out, and I think can come from behind as well. How did you see the pace?
I think it's going to be honest in here. I think even number 10, Concrete Glory, who doesn't look like much of a win threat, could be an early pace threat. I mean, he's fast enough to get the lead at going 5 furlongs on the dirt last time at Mountaineer. He's fast enough to be right there on the pace going 4.5 furlongs in his race before that. So I think he'll be forwardly placed. I'm going to go and see if Heavy on Toledo can win 2 races in a row, and I'm going to go with the Maryland bred and Maryland-based Grateful Bread. Great name. Grateful Bread, who was 2-for-2, by the way, on the turf at Pimlico. I like the fact that even though he's shown that he wants to be forwardly placed, he does not have to have the lead. In fact, he's run very well from a few lengths off the pace. So looks like Toledo's got some options with this son of great notion. He can force the issue or sit in just in behind them if they're going too fast. And I think his good races are as good as anybody else in here. And the fact that he's Maryland bred and Maryland based, he's probably not going to get the action that Caratari and some of the others in the field are. So I'm going to go with Grateful Bread. Dave thinks this is a wide open affair, just like I do, but he's going a different direction. 7 cents on top, but spreading with a little Mr. Hustle and a few others in the Jim McKay Turf Sprint Race 12 tomorrow on the Pimlico Kart. All right, our final break. When we come back, we're going to first look at the big race Sunday at Belmont Park, the Seek Again, and then spend the rest of the segment looking at tomorrow's Grade 1 Preakness. You're listening to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Bet and watch the races worldwide from the palm of your hand with Naira Betts. Sign up for Naira Betts today and take advantage of premium perks with the best live racing and instant replays in HD, exclusive promotions, and earn points on every bet. Sign up for Naira Betts today with the promo code HRRN200 and earn a deposit match bonus of up to $200. Again, that's HRRN200. With Naira Betts, you can bet any track, anywhere, at any time. Head over to NairaBetts.com.
Baltimore's biggest party is back. Be part of the 147th Preakness Stakes at Pimlico Racecourse, Saturday, May 21st. From legendary horse racing to the hottest artists in music, experience the tradition and excitement of Baltimore's premier sporting event. Witness history in the making as the nation's best three-year-olds thunder down the stretch in the iconic middle jewel of the Triple Crown, the People's Race, the People's Party. Get your tickets today at Preakness.com.
Join Lone Star Park for live racing every Thursday through Sunday through July 24th. Memorial Day, May 30th, is Lone Star Million Day, featuring six stakes worth $1.2 million in purses and an NHC qualifier. Lone Star Park is also home to two player-friendly wagers, the Players Pick 5 and Lone Star Six Shooter. Both feature a low 12% takeout, a 50-cent minimum, and a daily consolation payout. Every Sunday, the late Pick 4 is guaranteed at $50,000. Don't miss it. For more information, visit LoneStarPark.com.
Racing fans, the middle jewel in racing's Triple Crown, the Preakness Stakes, is here. So come join the Preakness Party at Santa Anita. Admission gates open early for wagering on a tremendous undercard from Pimlico at 7:15 a.m. Preakness Day tickets are available now at SantaAnita.com/events. And bring the kids. Our infield family fun zone is open with pony rides, inflatable jumpers, face painting, and more. Enter via Gate 6 off of Colorado Place. And be sure to mark Memorial Day weekend, May 28th, 29th, and 30th on your calendar. In addition to 11 stakes over the three-day holiday, our Santa Anita Infield Carnival will be back with a Ferris wheel and a number of other rides, a super slide, funhouse, and much more. Our on-track main event this Saturday is the $75,000 Misdirection Stakes for fillies and mares at about 6.5 furlongs down the hillside turf course. First live race post time is at 1 o'clock.
Hi, this is Kurt Becker. Join me each week on the Equine Forum as I take you on a stroll through racing history presented by Keeneland. This week, I look back at the racing career of Nellie Morse. Listen live on the Equine Forum every Saturday morning on Sirius 219 or XM 201, or visit our website at horseracingradio.net to access the archives and enjoy past editions. It's a stroll through racing history with me, Kurt Becker, presented by Keeneland, only here on HRRN.
Hi, this is Calvin Burrow. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Betts.
And so with 2.5 furlongs left to go, Midnight Bourbon on the outside to Medina Spirit. Midnight Bourbon, Medina Spirit is fighting back on the inside. They're shoulder to shoulder. And on the outside, Rumbauer is ready to roll too. 3 chances, 1.5 furlongs left to go. And here comes Rumbauer on the outside. Rumbauer's gone by Midnight Bourbon. Medina Spirit's back in third and painting a 16th of a mile left to go. Rumbauer and Flavian Pratt, they're rolling home. Rumbauer to win by 3. Midnight Bourbon was second. Medina Spirit was followed by Keep Me In Mind. And then it was back to a crowded trade. time was 1:53.62.
The good doctor, Dave Rodman, on the call of last year's Preakness, won from off the pace by Rombauer. Welcome back to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts. Bobby Newman, Dave Freeman. Folks, the 147th running of the Preakness Stakes is this weekend. Naira Betts is getting you ready for it. New customers can enjoy a $200 deposit match sign-up bonus by using the code HRRN200. If you're already a Naira Betts customer, they've got you covered. Enter into Friday's $20 bonus or Saturday's $40 bonus for the best promos around. You can bet $100 each on Belmont and Pimlico Friday, earn $20 win or lose. Bet $200 each on Belmont and Pimlico Saturday, earn $40 win or lose. Opt into any promo this weekend and more at NairaBets.com. And, of course, you can watch all the great action on America's Day at the races all weekend. They're on tomorrow from 12:30 to 6:30 Eastern time on FS2. Sunday's schedule 12:30 to 5:30. Those times also Eastern. All right, Dave, we've got two more races to discuss on today's edition of the Weekend Stakes Preview. We're going to jump to Sunday just briefly. The stake race on Sunday at Belmont Park is the $100,000 Seek Again for the four-year-olds and up, going a mile on a turf. Looks like they had trouble filling the race. Five of them end up going to post, and a heavy favorite in number four, Mason, who's 1-2.
Yeah, I mean, Mason makes so much sense, right? Second off a layoff. Second is a four-year-old. The races in Europe back in 2021 were really, really good. And this is what Chad Brown does. That being said, I'm very interested in Duke of Hazzard, number two. First time with Wesley Ward, gets first-time gelding status here, has not run since September, and was running against better horses than Mason was in Europe. I don't know if Duke of Hazzard was running better than Mason was running. The couple of races at Leopardstown in October and September of last year for Mason were really, really good, but he was the favorite in those races and he won, which is, you know, generally what you would hope to expect. They were very, very large fields, ran really well. Duke of Hazzard was not winning races in Europe, but was running against better horses and hit the board on a pretty regular basis, often at pretty big odds, and then ran in the Woodbine Mile in September and ran kind of an okay sixth at a huge price, 27-1, but now is in Ward's barn. Ward is unbelievable first time as with him, unbelievable off a long layoff, gelded for a first time, and I'm going to give him a shot to beat the 1-2 shot.
All right, so Dave likes Duke of Hazzard. I'm also going to try to beat the big favorite, and I'm going to go with number one, Field Pass, who, when he's not facing Colonel Liam or Got Stormy or, you know, the real top-of-the-heap turf horses, he runs very well, and he wins sometimes, and he can win on the front end or from just off the pace. I think that that versatility is going to help his chances. Dylan Davis has been riding as good as anybody, it seems like, in New York since the end of last year. I'm going to try Field Pass on top in the Seek Again race three on the Sunday card at Belmont. All right, Dave. Only race we haven't talked about yet is the biggest race of the weekend. Second leg of Thoroughbred Racing's Triple Crown. It is the Preakness. $1.5 million on the line for the three-year-olds. Race 13 tomorrow at Pimlico, 1 mile and 3/16. We've got a field of nine. We do not have the Kentucky Derby winner in the field, but we have the Kentucky Oaks winner, Secret Oath. We have the horse who was the actual favorite in the Kentucky Derby, Epicenter, who finished second. And we've got some new shooters. How do you see this race playing out, and who do you like?
Well, I think Chad Brown was really, really intelligent keeping early voting out of the Kentucky Derby, and I think early voting will find a pace much more to his liking here. Son of Gunrunner, and we saw Chad do this, I think it was 2017, with Cloud Computing coming out of the Wood Memorial, going straight to the Preakness, and winning. Early voting's going to be on the lead. The question is, what is the pace going to be like, and how close is anyone going to be to early voting? I think the horse from California, Armagnac, may be close, looks like a front-running type. But I think the key here is simplification and Epicenter, I think, will be much more forwardly placed than we saw them in the Kentucky Derby. I expect that early voting will have the lead. I do not know how easy a lead it will be, but I don't think Epicenter is going to let early voting get away. I think Epicenter will tackle early voting somewhere around the turn, maybe right as they turn for home. And my guess is that Epicenter is going to be able to go by. Now, if the pace is a little bit hotter, if early voting is out there, Epicenter has to move a little bit early. Maybe simplification can go by Epicenter and early voting and win the race. It's also possible that since early voting has more rest, that he can kick away when that pressure comes. But Epicenter, to me, looks like the best horse, is clearly the most likely winner. I do not think you're going to get 6-5. I think Epicenter will be even money or less in here. And Epicenter is my pick to win. But I like simplification and I like early voting. I respect Secret Oath. I did not think Secret Oath got a very good trip in the Arkansas Derby. She was absolutely terrific in the Kentucky Oaks. But I don't like girls facing boys. And I particularly don't like them facing boys when they have just the same 2 weeks to turn around. If this was Secret Oath trying a race 3 weeks from now and everyone else was on short rest, maybe not for me.
All right, so we're both against Secret Oath a little bit in this spot. Similar reasons. I don't have any issue with the girls facing the boys. I just happen to think that she ran the best race of her career last time out, and now she's coming back on 13 days or 14 days rest to try to do it again. If she repeats that race that she ran in the Kentucky Oaks, she has a chance. My gut feeling is she has to run even better than she did in the Oaks to win the Preakness. So, I agree with you that it was a smart decision by Chad Brown and Clarovich Stables to skip the Derby, even though it's tempting, and point for the Preakness. I think it's going to benefit this horse. I think he has every reason to, there's every reason to believe he will run at least as well as he did in the Wood Memorial. And if he runs as well as he did in the Wood or even improves a little bit, I think he's going to win the Preakness. I'm going to try early voting wire to wire. I have nothing against Epicenter. He's a great horse. I'd love to own this horse. He's just a model of consistency, and he may be just better than this field. But I think early voting is going to be able to get out in front of this field, and I think he's going to take him all the way on the front end and win Preakness 147. All right, Dave, all 11 races are in the books. It's time now for the Naira Betts Best Bet.
This is the Naira Betts Best Bet.
Take it away, Dave.
The James W. Murphy, race number 10 at Pimlico tomorrow. I only see two of them with a real chance. Ready to Perform and Riot House. The morning line on Ready to Perform, who is going to be the favorite, is 5-2. I have a hard time imagining that that's going to be the case, but if you give me 3-2, I'll be happy. I think Ready to Perform is better than this group, and if the morning line is to be believed, that the price is going to be reasonable, I'm always happy to take a horse that I think is clearly the best when I'm not having to take 3-5.
All right, so Dave likes Ready to Perform in the James W. Murphy. I'm going to go earlier in the card in the Grade 3 Gallarette. I just cannot get past number 4, Technical Analysis. I know that she's 7-5 on the line, but I like her versatility. She runs well on the lead. I think she runs even better stalking. And I just think, very simply, she's better than this field. Technical Analysis, if she's 7-5, I think that might even be worth a play in the Grade 3 Gallarette Race 5 tomorrow on the Preakness card. Don't forget another huge day on the Equine Forum tomorrow morning presented by Twin Spires, as are the Baron of the Backstretch, Mike Penna, is joined by trainers Steve Asmussen and Ken McPeak. Look back on their Preakness success and preview this year's contenders. Pimlico handicapper Naomi Tucker shares her thoughts on the Saturday stakes. Owner Tammy Bobo discusses Preakness contender Simplification. Consigner Kip Elzer from Kirkwood Stables previews the Phasic Tipton Mid-Atlantic sale, talks about his consignment. Dual Hall of Fame trainer Mark Cassie is in the hot seat and takes your calls on this week's edition of You Be the Host. That's your chance to call in, tweet in, email in, and ask whatever you want of Mark Cassie. Real nice guy. Plus, I Ask, They Answer with trainer Dale Romans and turf writer Tim Wilkin, presented by the University of Louisville Equine Industry Program and the College of Business, and Kurt Becker's Stroll Through Racing History, presented by Keeneland, another power-packed edition of the Equine Forum presented by Twin Spires tomorrow, every Saturday morning from 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time right here on HRRN. Dave, as much as we would like to be at Pimlico for the Preakness, the fact that it's going to be 95 degrees, I am very happy to be watching it in simulcast land, my friend.
Yeah, I'd like to be there. I've always enjoyed it every time I've been there, and it's fun to be at big races like we were a couple weeks ago at Churchill Downs. But indeed, the modern era of racing is you can bet them from your couch, and that's not so bad.
No, it's fun to be there. It's fun sometimes to be lazy and just do it from home. I will say this. With all the pomp and circumstance that the Kentucky Derby gets, the Preakness is a completely different vibe. It is just wild beyond wild. And if you have never been to the Preakness, you really should make plans 1 year to get there, because it's just phenomenal, and it's a totally different vibe there and just a gigantic party. All right. For our producer, Lee Delapina, my co-host, Dave Friedman, I'm Bobby Newman. Thanks for joining us this evening, and best of luck in Preakness 147.